Good to see you all this morning, and thank you again, Daryl, for sharing your testimony with us. Always appreciate that. Well, we're lesson number 15, okay? Lesson number 15, and you should open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're looking at verses 17 through 34. 17 through 34. For some of you new guys over there, the newbies, we're doing a tour through 1 Corinthians, and we're calling it God Speaks to Californians, because we realize there's so many relevant things that, that Paul speaks about it to the Corinthians that really speaks to us as well. It's very, very, very powerful. We're in this 11th chapter, and let me just read through my introduction, and then we're going to get right into the scriptural text. As if the scandalous, immodest behavior of some of the Corinthian women was not enough to spoil the Christian testimony of the church, the pride and prejudice in the hearts of the Corinthian Christians further corrupted the communion services. In fact, the trouble in Corinth over the Lord's Supper ruined a lovely practice of the early church. This practice was known as the agape. It was a Christian love feast. Today, this love feast has so nearly passed into oblivion that few Christians even know about it. But early Christians would gather for a shared meal together, take a special offering for the poor, and then close by taking the broken bread and wine of Christ's supper in remembrance of Jesus. Undoubtedly, everyone would bring something to the agape to share, but the rich bore the majority of the responsibility. In that way, the poorer families could enjoy at least one luxurious meal a week. In the Corinthian church, however, the agape had degenerated drastically. Instead of being a festive occasion of grateful response to Christ as Savior and Lord of his body, this love feast became a time of squabbling, selfishness, lack of love, strained relationships. The symbols that should have reminded these Christians of Christ's love, grace, and unity within the body, the Lord's Supper became merely a ritual that fed selfish pride. Now in this study, as we examine the problems in this church and lack of sensitivity in taking the communion together, we also need to see how we too have corrupted the Lord's Supper. We do need to rediscover the meaning of the supper and what is required to participate in it in a worthy manner. Great passage. I want to read that passage, and so we get the full meat of what we're going to be talking about, and then we'll go back into the study and ask some of the questions. So here Paul, remember now, he's been dealing with this whole issue of the women in the church, what was going on, and the disruptive factors involved with that. And then he says here in verse 17, now in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Now, in the first place, I hear that you come together as a church, that there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you. Show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat, for you, as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anyone else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, in the night that he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Now do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who drinks or eats without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. We could tell that Paul was kind of angry in the situation, really disappointed with what was going on. Now, when you think about this text and this passage, just kind of get a grip on it, and let's kind of walk through some of these questions here and see how you respond. First question I wrote is, when Paul introduced the discussion of women's head coverings, he praised the Corinthians. You'll notice that in verse 2, he says, I praise you for remembering me in everything, for holding to the teaching just as I passed them on to you. So there was a very complimentary. Then all of a sudden he comes here. Now in the following directives, I have no praise for you. So what a contrast. Okay, now the question is this. How does he introduce this next section? What's the sense that you get feel? What you feel from this next section?
Disapproval.
Very strong, isn't it? Very strong. And just overall, as you heard what we're talking about already, why is he so angry about that? I mean, what's the big deal here?
To hear that there's divisions among Christians.
Okay. Now he said that earlier already, that there was divisions as far as leadership was concerned. Howard.
Not just division, but they're quarrelsome, they're disrespectful about a very central issue.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes, Jack.
And it's leading to where he's clearly seeing it weakening the church, weakening the body.
Okay. Keep talking.
More harm than good.
More harm than good. You're right.
Like as Jesus said, I can't testify to the truth. And when the church isn't testifying to what the Lord suffered, the bread and the cup even means,
right,
it's a false witness to the world.
Okay. And keep in mind, when Jesus tells his disciples how the whole world will recognize who they really are, what was the central issue there? They will know we're Christians by the love. So now what's happening at the Lord's table, I mean, there's not a whole lot of love going on there, okay? Now, let's walk to the next question here. So, what do you think Paul is emphasizing by using the phrase, in following directives? Notice here, verse 17, right at the top there, it says, in the following directives. Now, think about that phrase, directives. You understand what the emphasis here? Any footnote readers here? Rolf?
No, I'm just thinking that it's obviously, saying you're being disobedient.
Okay. All right. This is good.
In the doctrine I'm going to give you.
Okay. It's kind of like in the... let me explain. This is what I found in the commentary. It says, he's coming on very strong. He is expecting them to follow and obey what he tells them. Actually, the word used here means to pass along from an authority to another. It's used especially for orders given by a military commander to his subordinates. I mean, that's the kind of language he was using at this particular point. He was so disturbed because of what we're saying here. What are you doing? Don't you realize? I mean, it's one thing to say eating meats offered to idols, and he comes on, you know, be sensitive to each other and so forth. But here was a very strong issue. If we in the church don't take care of our issues as far as what divides us, start with the local body. It's bad enough as you look around us, but within the local body, if we have issues, say, start right here. You've got issues with each other, and you don't deal with them and find reconciliation and healing and deal with those kind of things, what does it tell you about the whole gospel? What does it tell you about what Jesus did on the cross?
You know, you've been talking about a lot, Paul says it a lot here, is do you not know who you are? And the more I'm reading Watchman Nee and the other book you gave me, I really get Paul's frustration.
Yes.
It's not so much in their behavior, but in that they don't what's been done. They don't. If they knew what had been done, if they really got right. who they were, they wouldn't be acting like this.
Very good. Let's go ahead, Jeff.
There's a scripture that you're at the altar. I forget exactly where you're supposed to go. And
oh, yes. Matthew 5.
Leave the altar.
Yes. Leave your gift at the altar. Go and, yes.
Amen.
Right. Yes. Now, what I always appreciate is sometimes we read it, and then we just forget about it. But in Second Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul writes these words, he says, verse 18, 5:18, 2 Corinthians 5:18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and what? Gave us the ministry of
reconciliation.
The ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ and not counting men's sins against him. And he's committed to us the message. Not only a ministry, I mean, we ought to be doing it, but there's a message. Reconciliation. And boy, you stop and think about how much disruption goes on within families and lives and then the church just because, you know, we get into hassles with each other and our feelings are offended. About feelings, isn't it? Our feelings are offended and boy, we build walls and barriers. I hear that bell. It's time to get up. Go ahead, Brad.
I get the feeling that Paul here is talking about the fact that you know, we need to look at the cross and realize forgiveness and what Christ has done for us.
Right.
We should have an attitude of gratitude.
Right.
That nothing shakes.
Yes.
And when we should have an attitude of gratitude, we should want to submit and humbly obey Jesus Christ. And when we forget about all that stuff, set it aside, and we start to go back to the old nature, which is what these folks are doing here, I think Paul's just sitting back saying, do you not know, right?
Do you not know?
Do you forget the message of the cross?
Exactly.
Did you get the fact that Jesus chose to die for you rather than live without you?
Yes.
And we forget that so easily, and when we do, we go right back to where we are. And most Christians, we all struggle with that at some point in time. Most of us just keep drifting away.
We do.
No, I was at that for 30 years.
We do.
We just kind of walk away from that whole message.
That's right. We do. Yes.
It's interesting you named this study Letter to the Californians because, and particularly with these passages, it really, really applies here in California with Christians because we are bombarded with secular lifestyle, the non-believers, influence here in California. And it's just amazing how we, so many times, we just forget the promise and say, you know, we fall right back into that. I deserve this. This has been my dream all my life. I really, really want this. I've been waiting for this. I've been saving for it. You know, we just fall into that pattern. I think what Paul is expressing here is we are an example. We are a light to the world.
Yes.
And you're acting like we are in the world.
You got it. Got it. What's the difference? Daryl.
Before I knew that we were doing this particular study on a Tuesday group, we actually do communion in our group.
Yes.
And I got this particular verse because I was asked to lead communion. And when it's just, when he says it's in remembrance of me, like Darren's saying, we've lost track of what communion is about.
Right.
And then, you know, like we're talking about, if we have a confrontation with one another, then we're not being in Christ. So the fact that, you know, just be in remembrance of what these elements mean, Christ's broken body on the cross, the shed blood, the washing of our sins, and you know, the past week's message by Ryan Beaver talking about what is of more value.
Yes.
What Christ has done or things that we have.
Excellent.
And all this stuff.
That is so
what
good.
What Christ has done is of more value than everything, and that should be our focus.
Yes. Fernando.
Celebrating the Passover. If we find out the Passover in the Old Testament, when God told Moses how to do it, the purpose to do it,
yes,
and he passed to every generation. Even Jesus Christ, before he was crucified, he celebrated his own Passover.
Yes.
Not the older one.
Right.
Because he was the Lamb.
That's right.
Now, Paul said that those people missed the point. The importance of the Passover was to get together and remember what happened, how the Jewish people was liberated, and the power of God to liberate them.
Right.
Now, for them, the most important of that Passover was the feast to eat and drink.
Yes, that's right. And they, you know, lose it. Now, let's go a little further, because there's an interesting statement here. In verses 18 and 21, 22, Paul points out two problems plaguing the Corinthian church. What are they? What did you find? What are the two basic problems?
Division.
Abusing.
Overindulgence. Okay.
Abusing the love meal.
Okay, abusing the love meal. Now, you both describe what they did, but what was the real problem? I mean, what, how can I say it?
Self-serving.
Yeah. What I'm trying to get across, I have to ask questions to get responses, but lack of respect. Go ahead, Dick.
I was just going to say something similar to that. The people, it was designed by the Lord that we stop and think about where all our blessings come from.
Yes.
And what we do, and we tend to do this,
yes,
it can happen. I've seen it happen in
yes.
groups. Well, all of a sudden, it becomes a party.
Okay, you're right. And I think, try to keep in mind, kind of what Darren was bringing out, when we lose sight of who we are in Christ, and that people matter to God, that means they've got to matter to us. So when we understand who we are in Christ, not just me, but fellow believers, who are we in Christ? Then how should we treat each other?
Second,
are you going to answer my question?
No, I was just going to give a verse.
Okay, give me a verse.
Well, this is a good one. I was reading 2 Corinthians 16.
Okay, very good.
So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly
point of view.
So once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer.
So how should we be looking at each other?
Well, worldly is, you know, I'm rich, you're poor.
Very good.
I got food, you don't.
Yes.
Tough luck. I sit in the front row, you sit in the back.
Right.
So God's perspective is the opposite, really.
Exactly.
You're all in Christ for sharing.
Right.
Love each other.
Because we know who we are in Christ. Yeah. Jeff had your hand up there.
Well, whenever I've heard this preached throughout the years, this has been in context of communion. Right?
Yes.
This portion of Scripture.
Yes.
Is not to take the Lord's Supper
in an unworthy manner.
In an unworthy manner.
Correct.
But the bigger picture here is that we are all, I think all the Corinthians is saying we're all one body.
Okay.
And so how do we look at it with that in mind, the Scripture? And it seems that we ought to be our own doctors. We ought to be able to say, okay, if we're sick here, we need to fix
right.
it. We need to minister.
Right. Because that's, and keep in mind now, that's why I just feel communion is such an important time. Not as a little ritual that we go through, but we've got to be thinking about what is it telling us? What is it telling us? Now we'll get more into that in that second section, but go ahead, Mike.
I was just reading the 1 Corinthians 11:19 there. It said, "No doubt there have been differences among you to show you which one of you have God's approval." So there's this
Okay. Division
going on of, well, I've got God's approval and you don't. And
okay.
Spiritual hierarchy going on within the church instead of being all the same.
This is an interesting passage. In fact, I call attention to it in the very next question C. How would you explain what Paul means in verse 19? Now, your explanation is, how did you explain that one?
That Paul's calling them, that the differences that you're having,
okay,
or if you're all Christians, but you're putting the worldly back in it and creating some kind of hierarchy.
Okay.
And that's creating division, because you're not looking at each other as in Christ, we're all one. You're looking at each other as
which has God's approval.
Church.
Okay, that's interesting. Very good. I like that.
It talks in about that those who are approved of God, these people are the ones who have personally committed themselves to the glory of Christ, whatever it took. That was their passion, to see Christ's glory, and especially during the Lord's Supper. So they weren't looking for glory as a man. They were looking for
right.
position. They did it in the background. They were doing things okay. that brought glory to the Lord.
Okay.
And so God honored.
Okay, so you're kind of looking at it and saying, well, you know, here are these differences that are going on here, and all of a sudden, even in the midst of darkness, it has this little light over here to shine all brighter, that those who really were faithful, you guys have really, you know, made a mess of things, but that really helps us to see how...
They weren't doing it for their own glory. They were doing it because they saw the
need. We're bringing out what ought to be done, and you can see it much clearer. Interesting. Okay, any thoughts about this verse here?
I want to just mention with you mentioned 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You talked about we have a ministry of reconciliation,
yes.
a message of reconciliation. The next verse says we are therefore ambassadors for Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
And you told us so many
yes.
times, Pastor Steve, that my name is Christian. That's my title.
Yes.
But my job description is ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every single man that
that's right.
Christ Jesus is Lord and Savior.
That's right.
Is ambassador for Christ. That's a big responsibility. That means you have to lay aside some stuff. And I just encourage everybody. That's pretty intimidating. But again, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he will never. He doesn't want you to ambassador for Christ and not equip you to do it.
Right.
But we have to be equipable.
Yes.
And that's where we stumble. I think that's where the Corinthians were stumbling here. Is hey. You're an ambassador. You're appointed as ambassador.
Right.
So you're going to be equipable because I will equip you so you can fulfill that job description.
Excellent. Excellent. There.
So one of the things that I take a look at is if we take a look at Corinthians, all of the different scriptures that go along those lines, is that these were written to address things that were happening then, but they're preserved so that we can learn from them now. And so what I look at is that they put this love feast together where they said, let's bring everybody together and let's be able to serve the poor and do those kinds of things. And so they've got good intentions, but I think that one of the things that's happening is things get squirrely, which is a technical term, of course.
Very theological.
It's a theological technical term, that's right. They get squirrely, it's because people get involved, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm better than you, and I'm bringing the good food, so we're good, just getting
there
together
you.
Our table, and we're just going to eat what we're going to eat first, and the heck with the rest of the world. And I think that part of it is that the lesson to be learned here is it's a warning. Is that in the things that you're doing that are good things for the Lord that you believe are right, is watch yourself as to where this is going and how that can be treated and how it can be misconstrued or turned into a negative thing to the rest of the world. So,
yes. Like wearing a Packard jersey.
If that offends you, then we'll have that discussion later. When we start talking about the National
right.
Football
That's
League
right.
Championship, which
That's
is
right.
13. So
you can take the argument outside, okay?
Yeah, we'll take that to the parking lot.
You're going to rescue us here now, okay?
Pride stepped in.
Pride stepped in. Very good. Pride stepped in. Go ahead.
One of the things that we should have is diversity, but not division.
Okay, diversity, but not division.
Yeah.
Very good. And so here you've got rich people, poor people, you know, racial issues or whatever. But so there are differences, absolutely, but not to be divided. There is diversity, but not
all one difference.
Yes, right. Now I got John back here. Go ahead.
Didn't Christ have the same issue with the apostles when they were arguing about
who is the greatest?
Yeah.
That's right.
For them? You know,
that's right.
The first will become last, and the last that's will right. become first. And I think Paul is trying to put this message in a slightly different way with the Corinthians.
Yes, and notice. He comes on so hard, I believe, because the very symbol of the unity amidst diversity that we're supposed to have in Christ was the Lord's Supper. And at that very spot, you know, is when they just really blew up. And it makes you think of the Reformation. You know, you had John Calvin and Martin Luther and Zwingli and Bullinger and different guys. And somewhere along the line, they were going to... You know, there has to be a unified effort in the whole Reformation, and couldn't because they had differences about the Lord's Supper. Amazing, isn't it? The Lord's Supper. Go ahead, Bob.
It's really been on my heart recently that this kind of subject where you focus on the Lord and you focus what has been done and why and the whole thing, and you bring that into perspective and into your being. And if that doesn't bring you to a point of being humble,
right,
and act out of that position of humbleness,
yeah,
when you don't make that real, then you come out of yourself.
Yep.
And you think, I can do this, and you begin to act on what I can do,
right,
and I begin to do it instead of what the Lord has done.
Very good.
It's a different position. And that... recognition of what has been done day in, day out, each breath.
Very good.
All the creation. I am nothing.
Yes.
Nothing.
That's good.
The
spirit
there.
Of humility. For it.
I was invited by the Messianic Jewish to eat supper. It's completely different the way we do. They serve a meal.
Yes.
Very nice way.
Yes.
The table. They use a loaf of bread.
Yes.
And they use a bitter herb.
Bitter herbs, yes.
Much.
It's just reenacting the Passover, yeah.
It's beautiful.
Oh, it is. That's right. In fact, we've had celebrations years ago. I used to do that here at church, too. John.
I have a question. What we hear about the bickering and everything, but there's obviously good Christians in the Corinthians.
Yes, yes.
So, is Paul here just drowned out? They're not speaking up?
Well, this is the interesting thing, and that's why I was trying to get a feel how you interpreted verse 19. You know, it's kind of an interesting verse, because what kind of how I got a flavor on that, and whether it's right or wrong, it's entirely up to me. But it says, you know, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. And I thought about that. I thought, well, that's a weird verse. There have to be differences. And I'm thinking, well, maybe what that's saying is God is saying, well, look, there have to be differences. In other words, there's going to be poor people, rich people. There's going to be, but to show God's approval, the people who really understand who they are in Christ and what the supper really is all about, they'll get it. So there have to be differences. There have to be those that diversity within the body of Christ for you really to come to appreciate what it means to be reconciled and to have that message of reconciliation and what that supper really tells you.
Is he dealing with maturity and immaturity? Is that the difference?
I think so. And but at the same time, he's saying, so there has to be diversity for you to really see the marvel of this gospel. And some of you get, some of you don't. And I'm going to chastise those of you who don't. Dan.
Years ago, I was in Rico, in the Mennonite church there.
they had this love feast, not during the service, but the
okay, yes.
And then the communion, but the humbling part was afterwards, everybody washed each other's
feet. Oh, yes, wow. Right. Yes, we've done that too.
That kind of kept it all...
It doesn't it? And there's something about that. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, it's interesting, the footnotes on 19, it says there, those who cause division only serve to highlight those who are genuine believers.
Interesting.
Yeah.
When there's darkness and someone shines a light, that light's pretty bright then, isn't it? John.
Having to have diversity, I think, brings up the point that it brings in discussion and allows those who are not identified yet the opportunity to see and wade through the discussion.
I think so too. We have to recognize it sometimes. Jeff.
What is the scripture that you always say about from Galatians about you who are spiritual? Restore.
6:1-2.
6:1.
Yeah. Galatians.
Is that related to this?
It's a little different context there. I mean, that is when you see someone who is really going through a difficult time, especially a sin area. Well, you who are spiritual, go to that person and don't sit and condemn them, but walk with them, help them to see what's going on, and help correct that issue.
One of the scriptures you would give us, Pastor Steve, was there's wheat among the tares.
Yes.
And the
yes.
The Father says, don't pull out
yes.
the tares because you're going to pull out
yes.
the wheat as well.
Yes, exactly.
Leave that for judgment day as I'm paraphrasing. So I think that's what I'm understanding here. In church, you're going to have
yes.
false, you can have sheep's clothing and so forth. I mean, that's just the way it is.
And it will be there, but sometimes, so there has to be those kind of differences for you to really appreciate. To me, you know, sometimes people have a very legalistic attitude to our Christianity and how to live and so forth. It helps me to appreciate all the marvel of God's grace. I love it. Go ahead, Darren.
I just have to bring it up because, Gary, we're going through an old Christian life.
Yes.
We started talking about the blood of Christ.
Right.
And in relationship to this, I'm gonna toot Gary's horn for him. He automatically said, my next communion is going to mean so much more because I can't. And he said it 2 or 3 times. He can't wait to go have communion.
Wonderful.
I'm really looking forward to having communion because
what
I now know
the blood of Jesus has done.
He wants. It's, so just yes. That's what Paul's saying here. That's like on the court right here. It's
exactly.
Like,
right.
Once you get.
Yes.
It, once you get who you are, the communion will make sense.
Oh, makes so much more. Want to comment on that?
What? He said it. It really woke me up. I mean,
yes.
It was amazing when I read it, and then we studied on it.
Yes.
I read it again. That really understood what the blood
yes.
of Jesus was all about.
Yes.
And then I looked at Leviticus
16:17, 11.
The two that came together.
Yes, exactly.
That's when I made comments that my next community was going to be a lot more.
Wonder.
But what I thought was awesome is that he even went to communion. Not like, wow, my sins are forgiven, now I'm
yes,
going
right.
All of a sudden, he was so wise to say,
yes.
Wow, I can't wait to accept, to take the
body. Very
the
good.
I just thought that was amazing.
Oh, right? I think it's awesome. That's awesome. Which I got one more question. I got to finish over here, and that question number D. The specific Corinthian disorders identified by Paul were disunity, lack of love, gluttony, drunkenness. In what ways do we distort? Now, when Gary says, you know, it just makes communion all more meaningful to me, what often happens with communion now, with us? Go ahead, James, you can speak to that.
All right, yeah, well, I'd say that it becomes an act, so we just do it without...
It's a ritual.
It's a ritual.
Yes.
What I was going to point out was something that Fernando was kind of relating to, was that this actually, whether Paul was purposely nudes or not, but he realized that we're communicating, the way God communicates is he uses these symbols
right.
to communicate a message. So it
right.
transcends what we
it does.
Who we are. It's for the next,
yes.
you're thinking of the next generation and how, just as he, Fernando was saying, how he said, hey, do this Passover thing.
Right.
Oh, there you go.
do the Passover and remember that, so that, because they're pointing to, as Daryl was saying, it's pointing to coming to Christ. In the same way, when we're doing this, right, it's beyond ourselves. It's not just us doing it.
Exactly right. And again, you know, remembering what he has already done for us. Bob, you going to make a comment? Bob, you going to make a comment?
No.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Psalm 130.
What is it?
The title of Psalm 130. It's supposed to be Psalm
130. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, my, this supposed to be 139. I have to apologize for that. All you scholars there, you're wondering what Psalm 130, there's not even 23 verses in that thing. It's 139. I apologize. Search me and know me and see if there's any wicked way in there. Yeah, that's what it was.
I just want to see if we're sleeping.
I want to see if you guys are really okay. We got to conclude. Jeff, one last word.
It's important to remember, whatever you think about yourself.
Yes.
That's a really good
focus. But really, it's the whole body.
Very good.
It's the whole body.
It's the whole body.
All together in one fellowship.
Exactly right.
Loving and being Christ in you.
Right. So if you think about yourself, start thinking, you know, search me and know me. See if there'd be any wicked way in me. What kind of relationships do I have? See? That's going to be important. So, take that thought, and we're going to move that into the next section here, because I really want us to talk about the Lord's Supper. And Gary, bring up all your great insights, okay? Got that? All right? Because, hey, listen, what you said is so true. Try to understand now, what do we do when we take the bread and take the wine and grape juice or whatever we take? You know, I mean, what is that telling us, okay? All right, let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, thank you so much just for this time of sharing and learning and discovery. And Lord, we're always amazed and humbled by your word. And sometimes, Lord, we read your word over and over again and just sort of, it bounces right off and it doesn't penetrate. But Lord, thank you for times like this where we stop and we look and we listen and say, okay, Lord, what are you telling me here? How I just ignored and disregarded and often just cause my own thoughts to prevail instead of really letting your words speak. So Lord, thank you. Bless our time here the rest of the day, and bless the services this evening and tomorrow. And Father, we just give you the praise and thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Bless you guys. Thank you.